We were on a road trip coming back from a church youth gathering that we had staffed, my buddies and I. And as sometimes happens when we're all gathered in the car for a long road trip, I had to pass a little gas and thought I could do so discreetly. But it quickly became evident that it was of the silent but deadly variety. And my buddy said, "Joe, I love you like a chicken, but that is awful. Roll down the window and pull over at the next pit stop. You got to take care of that." The text for the weekend had been this same passage where Jesus refers to himself as a hen gathering his brood beneath its wings. And I wondered then, as I wonder now, how Jesus' hearers heard his words, even as he described this love for them as a chicken loves its young, this identification that Jesus had with the maternal compassion of a mother hen. You know, for his audience, they would have been familiar with the text that we hear in the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures that talk about this powerful imagery of God, you know, describing, using images like lions and towering pillars of flame and mountains and giant cedar trees. But a chicken, a hen gathering its chicks, this is not exactly the image that inspires confident assurances of strength and might and authority, especially when Jesus had just a few moments earlier referred to Herod as a fox. And I don't think that we need to assume that Jesus was so clueless as to not realize in the matchup of a fox versus a hen who comes out victorious. So I wonder how Jesus' hearers heard his words. Just as I wonder how we, as Jesus' followers, hear his words today. Do we believe that this desire that Jesus expressed to draw people close, to protect them as a hen protecting her chicks, do we think that he was naming a desire just for the people in the city of Jerusalem at that time, just for those select few? Or is this reflective of a broader desire that God has for all of humanity? You know, for us, in our own times of chaos and fear, hardship and suffering, are we free to picture Christ, our mothering hen, drawing us close, sheltering us with God's maternal love and compassion? I believe God's word grants us this assurance, that we hear again and again in Scripture the character of God's all-encompassing love, the compassion that God has for us in the midst of our need, just as God has love and compassion for our neighbors, for our enemies, for those who persecute us, for people who society excludes, for folks who are vulnerable or oppressed or suffering, and for whoever else you might hear missing from this list. God's love is for them too. And if we, as Christians, believe that we are the body of Christ in this world, then part of our calling is to be the wings of the mother hen holding close to our breast the people of this world. And this firm conviction that the way of Christ is this calling to love all people is the conviction that helps me to stay grounded in the community that we call the church in the aftermath of events like the shooting at the mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, it may be a bit of a jump this early Sunday morning to see how a terrorist shooting halfway around the world for a different community of faith relates to being a church-going Christian here in southeastern Wisconsin. But I'll at least own for myself that in my own walk of faith, that it's difficult for me to feel connected with family members and friends who I know are deeply faithful and proclaim Christ as Lord on Sunday morning, only to turn around on Monday and share messages that spread the idea that some lives don't matter, that some people don't belong, or that certain people deserve what they get for not acting or believing as they ought to. And I know deeply in my heart that our call that to call ourselves Christians isn't some claim that we ourselves are perfect or doing it all right. That it's more true to say that it is a fact that we call ourselves Christians because of how we've recognized that we are sinful, that we are in need of redemption, and that the church is traveling this path together. But just because we're all family riding in the same car on this road trip doesn't mean we have to like it when someone rips one. And we got to name it and do something about it, or else we're all just going to keep sitting in it. And church, I love you like a chicken, but our nation, the Christian church, continues to struggle with the sins of Islamophobia, of fear and hatred of those who are different than us, who believe differently, or who are from a different part of the world. And when we, even if we want to rise to that and say, well, it wasn't me, I'm not the one that did that. When we remain silent about messages of division and hatred and fear, we embolden the foxes of this world who prey upon vulnerable people in order to ensure their own sense of power and well-being. Jesus calls us to follow him, to love others as he did, to meet fear and hatred and violence with love that perseveres, that endures, that calls us to attend to the needs of those around us, even in response to the voices of this world that would tell us to first look out for number one. Because sometimes this fear roots itself in us, wrapping itself up in excuses and justifications that tell us that, well, it's all well and good that Jesus preached what he did, and that may work out well for Bible stories, but we live in the real world, and that it's not prejudice or hatred to be smart and to have common sense, to be extra cautious around those people from that area who look that way or who do those things, because such and such a story tells us that if we're not extra careful, they'll get us. Perhaps a little bit like those Pharisees that morning, coming to Jesus saying, hey, you better watch out. Herod wants to get you. He doesn't like what you've been doing, and he's going to kill you. But don't presume that Jesus was naive about the threats in his community. Jesus knew very well the threat that Herod possessed, knew because of the way that Herod had killed his own cousin, John. God is well aware of the way that power in our world often seeks to maintain its control through fear and violence, putting down perceived threats, removing them before they can become a problem. But Christ's response isn't to return violence for violence, to meet threats with destruction. Jesus' strength was shown in his resolve and his conviction for the mission and ministry that he was enacting, to care for the people in front of him, to dedicate himself to the cross and his journey to Jerusalem, so that all the world might know that in the face of the worst things that we could throw at God, insults, betrayal, rejection, abuse, torture, scorn, derision, suffering, and even death, that having all of this sin poured out on him, Jesus' response was to show his power by declaring, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because although the power of foxes is shown in tooth and fang and the sowing of fear and death, God's power is shown in the steadfast love and forgiveness of Christ on the cross, in the strength of convictions that are grounded in caring for others, in the loving compassion of a mother hen. This is the example that our Lord set for us. This is the way of Christ, to look at all the people of this world and see them first and foremost as God's beloved, folks who are worthy of mercy and love and compassion. And Jesus gave us this example so that we might know that it's true for us as well, even on our worst days, that God's mercy and love and grace is for us. And so that we might be made new, transformed by that love, to be able to share it that it might transform the communities around us, seeking to make new our relationships, the places in which we live, to put an end to messages of hatred and fear and division, and to work to ensure that all people are able to live free from the threat of violence and terror. Because we are indeed God's hands and feet and wings in this world. And God continues to draw all people, and especially those who are vulnerable and suffering and hurting, to draw them close, to hold them dear. If only we would claim God's Spirit and God's power to do so. Amen.